Yeah, so let neighbors say they are in disbelief, and you can imagine why this happened in broad daylight when a lot of families tell me they were at home.
The following story was loosely inspired by a true event that occurred on Halloween. More details during and at the end of the story. It was the Halloween night of 2010 when my boyfriend and I watched a horror movie in the living room where all the action and thrill taking place caused the steady beating of our hearts to suddenly rise. So, gazing upon him, the softness in his eyes prompted us to cuddle amidst the tortures and loud hollers displayed on the screen. The film was called Scary Movie, and my boyfriend was so ecstatic that he couldn't stop talking about it on the phone a few days prior before coming over to watch it with me. Eventually got bored a quarter through, only expressing my dissatisfaction by exaggerating my yawn and looking drowsy. I got up and expressed to him that I wanted to give candy to the kids who were out trick-or-treating.
So Paul, care to join me?
I asked, optimistic that my boyfriend would want to spend more time with me instead of watching that silly film.
I've got work the following morning. And I need to sleep early anyway. I'll just go ahead and hit the hay, he replied, as he headed upstairs.
Then, moments later, I turned off all the lights in the house while the ones on the porch were kept on. I sat a chair close to the front door and waited for the kids to drop by the house with their relentless enthusiasm for free sweets while I scrolled through my phone, getting updated on social media regarding my friend's Halloween activities. Moments later, a couple of kids arrived, knocking on my door. I opened it as they all said in unison,
"Trick-or-treat!"
So, as I came out to greet them, I gave them handfuls of candy in an attempt to empty out the remaining treats in the bowl. I remember seeing the majority of trick-or-treaters dressed in a Scream costume, keeping in mind that the horror series, or at least the costume, was a huge trend at the time. As the night progressed, I eventually ran out of candy, so it was time to turn off the porch lights and head back to the living room. But as I approached the living room, I heard another knock, somewhat louder than before. I tried to ignore it, thinking that if I did, the kids outside would be convinced that I had gone to bed and that they should turn to my neighbor in case they had any sweets left. However, the person on the other side of the door didn't seem to get the memo and remained persistent. So, I was beginning to feel irritated, but since they were children, I reminded myself to go easy on them. Taking a deep breath, I walked toward the foyer and opened the door wide. Initially, I was supposed to politely tell the kids that I was out of sweets, but what I saw caught me off guard. When standing before me was a tall man wearing a Scream mask with its large tongue that gave it its creepy look. I could tell that he was definitely not a kid, and aside from his size and broad shoulders, he tilted his head to one side and said in a raspy tone, I stood there, stunned and unable to move. I wanted to shut the door on him, but was afraid that if I did, he'd try to forcefully enter the house like in the movies. While staring at me, I couldn't tell what was going through his head because of the mask he wore. However, moments later, he held his bag out, forcing me to give him treats.
I am so happy to be in your candy shop. And no, I don't want to lick your lollipop, but I do want some delicious candy. Oh yeah! So make sure to fill this bag to the brim, tramp, or else...
He threatened, in a sinister, harsh-sounding tone that made me sweat. However, I still tried to keep my composure.
Hilarious, dude. Happy Halloween. Your costume's pretty spot on.
I complimented, hoping he wouldn't notice how frightened I truly was. And then, in a matter of seconds, silence ensued. He straightened his posture, putting down his hands as he stared at me.
Do I look like a clown to you? I didn't come here to kid around.
And suddenly, things got pretty serious. For reasons I couldn't explain, something didn't feel right, because it was unusual for adults to go out trick-or-treating, especially alone. It was also suspicious that he'd prefer to go trick-or-treating late at night, when most people were already asleep at this time. I mustered the courage to give him a piece of my mind and told him honestly,
"Leave me alone or I'll call the cops!"
I slammed the door, but was appalled to see the guy sticking his foot out to prevent the front door from completely closing. Without a doubt, I knew this man came to my house with malicious intentions, and so I hollered as loud as possible, and the only word that came to mind was,
"Help!"
As soon as the creep entered the house, he shut the door behind him and yanked out a large knife. Scurrying away from him, I was bothered by the possibility of getting stabbed, so I ran up the stairs while the creep was in pursuit. Moments later, as I reached my bedroom, I instantly locked the door and noticed my boyfriend under the covers, sleeping like a baby. I ran towards the bed to alert him as to what was going on. However, I gasped when the events took a different turn as I lifted the covers and found many pillows instead of my boyfriend. When I turned to look behind me, the creep had already barged in. I inched back as he slowly advanced, dangling a knife in his hand.
Please! Please get away from me!
What's the matter, dear? Are you expecting someone to save you? You know what? I hate noisy, greedy girls like you who only think about themselves!
Please just tell me what you want and leave me alone! You can take anything in this house, I promise!
Anything?
He asked, in a hoarse and menacing tone. I nodded, hoping he would eventually spare me. However, like a rabid animal, he sprinted towards me, and all I could do was scream.
Had she watched Scary Movie with me, things might have been different. Too bad, though. She never should have interrupted me during my favorite movie.
This story was loosely inspired by two crimes that were committed during the time of Halloween. Both victims in each respective cases just so happened to be the culprit's girlfriends. Here's the image of the first culprit who ended up getting sentenced to 35 years in prison. Here's an image of the second culprit. What makes this case a little more chilling was how he wore this exact same devil mask when going on the prowl. The next story was inspired by two of the most horrifying criminals of the 20th century. A man named Ed Gein, who most of you probably heard of as the real-life Leatherface. But most of you probably didn't hear about a man named Edward Peisnell. We'll disclose more details about him at the end of the story. The next animation was loosely inspired by both perpetrators' reign of terror. This is something that happened to me a few years ago, something that I've never been able to explain. At the time, I was living alone in a small one-bedroom house, and I was spending my first holiday season on my own. That itself could have been enough to make the situation feel just the tiniest bit unusual, but it wasn't the reason I was a little on edge for Halloween. A few days before the 31st, a girl disappeared from my neighborhood. She didn't have any reason to run away, so the police were considering it an abduction. It gave everyone a good scare, especially the parents of the kids who would be trick-or-treating for Halloween. The word around town, as far as I heard, was that a lot of people were scared the kidnapper would take advantage of Halloween night to strike again. I was a little worried about it myself, but I wasn't going to let it stop me from celebrating altogether. However, for some personal reasons, I wasn't in the mood to go out. So I decided to give out candy for the first time after all those years of being one of the kids going around and collecting it. The streets were honestly a lot more crowded than I thought they would be, considering the fearful speculations. There were just a lot more parents out walking with their kids, but those parents ended up having the right idea by playing it safe. It was around 10 p.m. when everyone seemed to turn in for the night, and I stopped getting trick-or-treaters coming to my door. I turned my light off and settled in for a horror flick that I'd been meaning to watch for years. By the time I realized just how much time had passed, it was nearing 2 a.m. I was probably less than 10 minutes away from turning the TV off and crashing in bed when I heard someone suddenly knocking on my door, super loud and intrusively. When it became clear that they were not going to stop, I begrudgingly got up from my couch and shuffled to the door, making sure to latch the chain before even thinking about about unlocking the deadbolt and opening up. That thought probably saved my life, too, because as soon as I turned the handle, the psycho on the other side tried to barge in. He body slammed the door so hard that it hit me in the face and almost broke my nose, but thankfully, the chain caught him and managed to hold together long enough for me to reorient myself and fight against him.
Screw off, man! What do you think you're doing?
The man then squeezed his face into the gap of the door to look at me, and I realized he was wearing a disgustingly realistic Leatherface costume.
Trick or treat!
Then he finally stepped back, and I got a good look at the rest of him.
Happy Halloween!
He tried holding out an empty leather sack made out of the same material as his mask, as if to ask for candy, like he was trying to play off the fact that he just tried to bulldoze me and break into my house. I only pretended to be fooled by it, but even then, I didn't give him any graces. With the way he was acting in the context of the whole situation, especially given the kidnapping that happened less than a mile away and just a few days prior, this was no time to be acting like some dopey horror movie protagonist. The flick I just finished watching had taught me that much, and this guy looked familiar for more than one reason. Obviously, the costume was easily recognizable, but I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd seen his face before, like we'd been friends years and years ago. Maybe it was his psychotic mannerisms, but I shook aside the thoughts and tried to deal with him. No, dude. It's way too late to be trick-or-treating. You gotta go home.
Oh, come on! Don't be like that! Look how hard I worked on this costume! And you're telling me I don't deserve any candy? Do you know how long this took to put together? Why do you think I'm out so damn late?
Look, I'm sorry, man, but I don't have any candy left. I gave it all away hours ago.
Can't you check and make sure? Maybe there's some you missed.
Aren't you a bit old to be acting like a bratty little baby?
Who are you calling a baby? I'll take your face and wear it like a scarf!
Piss off! Get the hell out of my property or I'm calling the cops, punk!
Don't lie to me! I can see the bowl right there!
He pointed through the gap to the end table I kept by the doorway, and I made the idiotic mistake of taking my eyes off him to glance over. And in that split second, he rammed his arms through the doorway and grabbed me by the neck. He started strangling me with his grip, trying to pull me through at the same time, but I fought against him, pounding the door closed onto his arm. We were both screaming with pain and struggle, in a desperate battle for who could hold out the longest, my breath or his wrist. Thank God the chain was still intact, and things would have gone even worse. I managed to call out for help a few times and probably woke up the whole neighborhood.
Help! Someone call the cops! There's a psycho!
I started slamming the door on his arm so hard that I began to see splinters and small pieces of wood ricochet all over the floor. After what felt like an eternity, the man finally let go of me and ran off. I fell to my knees and caught my breath for a few minutes as my neighbors slowly came out of their houses with baseball bats and kitchen knives to check on the commotion. They started looking in through my door to see if I was okay, so to put them at ease, I unchained the door and stepped outside. I saw that the psycho had dropped his bag and left it behind when he ran away. I kept thinking to myself, man, that thing looks so real. Really looks like human skin. It's so disgusting. When the cops arrived, they took statements from me and my neighbors. They then collected the leather bag that had been left behind as evidence. Later that night, I tried to put the situation away to long-term memory and sleep it off. It wasn't long after that I found out what the bag really was made of, and I'm sure you can guess it wasn't cowhide. No, it was real. Real human flesh. What's worse was that the DNA matched with the girl who had gone missing just a few days prior. It all clicked when I heard about that. Why, I was thinking to myself that the guy had looked so familiar. It was because I'd been seeing that face he was wearing on the news prior to Halloween the entire time. Here is the image of Edward Peisnell. He was known as the Beast of Jersey for his horrific acts of terror. Edward was known for entering homes at night dressed in a rubber mask while invading the homes of multiple families at a time. The next story is one of the most unsettling trick-or-treat stories on the internet. We wanted to leave you guys with something eerie this Halloween season, so hopefully this story has the right hook to do the deed. Here's what it looked like. It was a late Halloween night when my two friends, who we'll call Sandy and Patrick for the sake of the story, decided to dress up as the SpongeBob characters Sandy and Patrick, hence the name. My friends were kind enough to let me coordinate our costumes since I missed Halloween the previous year. I wanted to go as Squidward, since the last few years of mental suffering had made me quite the jaded kid. Ever since I became a teenager, I've struggled with my mental health, but I wasn't officially diagnosed with schizophrenia until a couple years ago. Thankfully, since then, though I do have problems with my hallucinations and dissociative episodes from time to time, I can usually manage with my medication, as long as I take it according to the strict regimen that my psychiatrist prescribed. I never wanted something like that to ever slow me down, though. Halloween has always been my favorite holiday, but the first year after I got diagnosed, I was forced to stay inside due to the severity of my condition at the time. This year, I thought I was doing a lot better, and my parents agreed, so they let me go trick-or-treating as long as I promised not to go to any parties and to always stay together with my friends. Despite all that, I don't mean to brag, but I think I put the most effort into my costume. I had the pale blue skin suit and the classically huge nose drooping off of my face, plus a bulbous bald cap to give the right silhouette. That said, you could still tell who they were supposed to be. Either way, it worked. The night started off great. The streets were busy with trick-or-treaters and all the houses were being extremely generous with their handouts. Our candy sacks were filled up quite nicely before too long. It was all very heartwarming to me, to be able to hang out with my friends on such a great night, celebrating my favorite occasion of the year. It made up for missing it previous year. In the beginning, my friends and I were all sticking together just like my parents made us all promise, but as the evening progressed, we all started to walk at slightly different paces. We stayed within line of sight, of course, but we spread out a bit. At some point, the closest friend of mine was Sandy, who I could see about 7 houses down the street. I kept on walking in their direction, but my attention was captured by a voice that came from aside.
Squidward, help!
I jerked my head around and saw someone sitting on the front porch of a house. They were dressed as SpongeBob, but they did not look well. Not as in their costume was bad, but as in they were in bad condition. They looked haggard and deranged, and their teeth were all crooked and dingy, like some version of SpongeBob that had been dragged through the Bikini Bottom dump.
Please, Squidward, come closer. I need your help.
I was terrified by whoever this person was, but they genuinely looked like they needed help, so I cautiously made my way to the house and up the stairs of the porch. As I got closer, the look on SpongeBob's face became even creepier. But the most disturbing part of it all was the fact that there were a dozen fishing lines dangling out of his mouth.
You see these fishing lines? They're stuck all the way down my throat. I had a little mishap with the costume, and now I can't get them out. Need you to pull them out.
What? I can't do that.
You're the only one who can. I can't see them, but you can. I need you to just reach down there and unhook them one by one, then slip them up out of my throat. Please.
Why don't we call an ambulance?
There's no time. If one of them slips down the wrong way, I'll bleed out. If I swallow them into my stomach, I'll die. I need you to pull them out now.
I looked around, and somehow it felt like I was completely alone, like all the people on the street had suddenly gone somewhere else. I was under so much pressure that it was like I was getting tunnel vision. For some reason, I found a way to believe this guy. He was also doing an undersea costume, like me, from the same city and the same show. Since he was also sort of a fish character, it made sense that there could have been an accident with fishing lines. Maybe some other kids had bullied him in some sadistic, messed up way. The way he was looking at me, it was like he was begging me to help. I gulped and steeled myself. I took a deep breath and steadied my hand, then reached into his gaping mouth. I cringed at the sensation of Sponge's mouth, but I pushed forward down into his throat. I closed my eyes and followed the first string I could grab. until I could feel a hook. I began to pull on it, but it was stuck. I started to wriggle it around to get the barbs out of the flesh, but I wasn't able to do anything worthwhile in time, because all of a sudden, SpongeBob bit my arm. His jaw clenched down with violent force. I screamed and quickly yanked my arm out, abandoning the fishing line. I lost my balance as I tried to step back and tripped, falling down the flight of steps of the porch and hitting the sidewalk on the ground. Thankfully, I was able to get my arm out of that psycho's mouth before much serious damage was done. Immediately after, I was swarmed with a horde of people. Luckily, my friends were there to shield me from the crowd, though they weren't exactly comforting me.
Dude, what's wrong with you?
What do you mean? I was trying to help him.
What are you talking about, man? Why would you do something like that?
Wait, what did I do?
Look!
My friend, dressed up as Sandy, pointed up to the porch, where I then saw an old man in a bright yellow shirt, curled up on the ground, choking. There were a pair of dentures on the ground next to him. His entire family was looking at me like I was some kind of demon. Ever since then, I haven't had many of the freedoms I used to enjoy. Not until I can prove that I won't have another episode that might cause me to do harm to another person or myself. I don't know if I'll ever get there, though. I really thought I was doing well back then, but I still managed to fall into the delusion that someone swallowed fish hooks while trying to put on a SpongeBob costume. I guess the concept of costumes isn't a great thing to combine with my condition, but at least I can say my forever last trick-or-treating experience was a memorable one.
I am so happy to be in your candy shop. And no, I don't want to lick your lollipop, but I do want some delicious candy. Oh, yeah. So make sure to fill this bag to the brim, Tramp, or else...